very controversial host of Piper's Pit, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah. Mr. Piper, I would stick around, but you're going to have to excuse me. I have to go to the men's room. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Oh, going home? Oh, my goodness, that's fine. Cow Palace. You can go to the men's room in the Cow Palace. That's a wonderful name in San Francisco because the Cow Palace is someplace that I would be proud to call my home. Cow Palace is someplace that I'd be proud to bring my gal. Because obviously, if you live in San Francisco and you are going out with gals, obviously they belong in the Cow Palace. I saw one, the only thing she was missing was antlers. She would have been in season, Jack, man. I saw her coming up to me, asking me for a date. I says, man, I'm Hot Rod. Are you kidding me? He said, yeah, but aren't you the one that's going to fight Mr. Wonderful? I says, yeah, I'm going to fight Mr. Blunderful. He says, but aren't you the one that's going to fight him with all them wrestlers around the ring? He says, yeah, that's me. He says, don't you know what he's thinking? Of course. Yeah, I know what he's thinking. Absolutely nothing, man. When he's in a room alone, he is all alone. You see, you forget, I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is. I know his moves. Oh, yes, he's tough. I know he's tough. You think I ain't, man? I've been around. You know that. I've been there before. He's tough enough to go and bench press 500 pounds. Who really cares, man, huh? Your idea here of a wrestling match here, you got 12 wrestlers around the ring. You got dancing midgets and leathers. You got everything that you've ever wanted in a match. You know why I signed this? Incidentally, it didn't take me 2 months to sign this match. No. It didn't take me 2 months to make up my mind, brother. No. I said, you want me to fight somebody? I'll fight anybody. Who do you want? Just let me fight him.
Orndorff says, well, I'm going to take my time. Going to take me about 2 months. And I'm going to go right now and go to the bathroom, think about it. And now I'm back. Right there. It's your idea of Orndorff's father. You see, that's going to happen after you fight me. There's going to be nothing left to you except for old and bald and ugly. You ain't going to be no Hot Rod. You're just going to be somebody that can't keep his bladder empty.
Thank you very much, Roddy Roddy Piper.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What the hell's going on out here?
42 and a half minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Great Tom Bowes bringing us back there. The former Tower of Power lead, of course, now with the Harlem Funk Harmonic Orchestra. But speaking of singers, Brent Carter, former Tower of Power lead, now the singer of the Average White Band. AWB to everybody. Of course, the group out of Scotland, but straight up, he's a black guy singing lead for the AWB. So we'll have Brent Carter, boxing fan extraordinaire, on tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but you knew that. We're talking, before we get to the world of the fake, I'm talking about, you know, WWE, and of course, the bottom line this week is WrestleMania is on the calendar. But the UFC 197 main event has sort of been going crazy. John Jones was arrested. Of course, the challenger, the former light heavyweight champion who had to vacate his title last year because of a hit-and-run accident in Albuquerque, New Mexico in the wee hours of, I think, a Sunday morning. So he vacated that title or had to give it up, so said the UFC. He did his time as far as fines, that kind of things are concerned. And this past week, he was cited for drag racing and cussing out the cops and that kind of good stuff. So I don't know if he was drag racing or if he was saying, bottom line is, John Jones was in the wrong place at the wrong time, something he has a habit of doing, okay? And this is not a positive thing for John Jones. He was held in jail for 3 or 4 days. I think he was let out on Thursday. His probation's been increased, but he was let out on Thursday. But, you know, this isn't good for the organization. This isn't good for John Jones. I mean, why can't... Maybe he's not a guy you could put a babysitter on, but at least you can try. If you've got a headliner, a guy that's like unpredictable and going crazy and doing all kinds of goofy stuff and coking his system one time and his testosterone levels incredibly low and things like that, all kinds of things point at the possibility that he was cycling on or off some type of steroids, okay, in addition to the cocaine. I mean, there's just John Jones, he's a great fighter, maybe the best. Right now, pound for pound, I mean, who's better in the world of MMA? Right now, Daniel Cormier is not better. He beat Cormier hands down. Speaking of Cormier, he pulled out of that UFC 197 main event, claiming he has an injury, so that's not going to happen. Shame on him, because I thought he and John Jones would hook it up this last time. And the second time will probably be the last time, because there's going to be so much damage inflicted by whoever wins this fight. These guys totally despise her. Oh, I'll tell you, although I will say this, John Jones did say, I wish you well, hang on to your belt, good luck, and that kind of good stuff. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. And he doesn't want to see you get hurt. He wants to hurt you himself. He doesn't want you getting hurt in training, Daniel Cormier. John Jones wants you getting hurt in the octagon with him. And, of course, when that date comes, who knows? We don't know whether there'll be a main event for UFC 197. I mean, it's a big letdown. I mean, Dana White's just been taking it on the chin and, you know, sort of right on that Dana White takes on the chin. You know, he's a bit of a turd. People don't like him that much, okay? And he lost Ronda Rousey. Wow, she got lit up, right? He lost Cain Velasquez. Wow, he got lit up, okay? Those are two of the stars right then and there. And, of course, John Jones was taken out of the game by that car accident. And then you've got Conor McGregor getting lit up like the White House Christmas tree and tapping out in the second round against Nate Diaz a fortnight ago. Of course, they're going to do the rematch July the 9th, MGM Grand, UFC 200. That'll be the main event for UFC 200, Diaz and McGregor, too. We'll get to that. But, you know, I wonder what UFC 197 is going to be. The main event just looks like nothing. I mean, they're probably going to try to come back with a Demetrius Johnson and Henry Cejudo. They're going to try to do that. They're talking about getting a fight in between, maybe John Jones and Mark Hunt. Come on. John Jones and Mark Hunt, heavyweight? That's what they're talking about. I don't know about that. I think that would be a little unsafe for John Jones. I don't think John Jones is going to be taking punches from a 265-pound man. I don't care how slow Mark Hunt is. Mark Hunt can deliver it. If Mark Hunt gets close to you and he unloads, night's out, baby. He's just one of them Samoan dudes. He can hit. Samoan dudes can hit. I was scared of Samoan guys for like the first round, the first 2-3 rounds, you know, in sparring. I was scared of them the first 2-3 rounds because they were just monsters. They were sprinters. They came out and they shot their thing and they were sort of done after the third round. And they were as an athlete, Samoan and athletes from that area, that part of the world, they seemed to peak out early. I mean, they just did. I mean, they were monsters in high school, and then, you know, they couldn't play JC or they couldn't play college because they were no longer bigger than the other guys, so it was all about size, all right? But now you've got Mark Hunt. I call him a slowing Samoan, a throwing Samoan. Of course, he knocked out Frank Mir a fortnight ago. Man, one punch, bang! That was it, okay? That was it. One punch. It was out. Frank Mir couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Actually, I should have believed it. I did believe it when I saw it. But it was a stunning end to this heavyweight bout. Of course, just in the very first round, Frank Mir didn't even get his feet wet. And Mir didn't get his act going, couldn't get that jab going, things like that. And that's what I'm talking about, not being able to pull the trigger. Frank Mir couldn't pull the trigger. The trigger was on. He couldn't pull it. Just couldn't, okay? That's the end. He's 36 years old. I think he's lost five of his last seven fights. It's time for him to give it up. But John Jones and Mark Hunt, that will be interesting. That will be interesting to see what happens there. I don't know. If Jones supports that he's out of jail, and Cormier is going to have to wait for a future card to defend that title against John Jones. So John Jones and Mark Hunt, they're sort of putting it out there on the USC website as a possible fight. So we'll see if that happens with that. Of course, that's coming up on April the 23rd live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, coming up now, we've got live MMA, of course, all over the place, man. You can go to, like, TV, and it's an oversaturation of, I think the oversaturation of MMA has hurt it. I really do, because, you know, you've got to make things special. They've got to be special events. And, you know, these UFC main events, of course, for some of these pay-per-view cards, they're really not of super, I mean, they're really not something you want to throw down $70 for. I mean, putting Demetrius Johnson on Fox TV where you can fight for free, that's really good. Putting TJ Dillashaw putting him on regular TV, I don't know if Fox Sports 1, I don't think that was a good deal against Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz, of course, coming in and taking his title away from him. I mean, he's a real deal. There's no doubt about it. I mean, tall, lanky, they tore out two of his ACLs. I think they're back. He had three or four of them. He had three replaced, and one was rejected. So he's had four different ACLs in those knees of his, but it didn't look like it when he fought T.J. Dillashaw. He just took T.J. Dillashaw apart in January, of course, taking away the world bantamweight championship, 135-pound male division. And that was a fight, that was the vision that let that fight get away, that super fight that would have took place in Sacramento, California, possibly with T.J. Dillashaw coming in as the heel. Of course, he had fought in Sacramento predominantly for Team Alpha Male, and then he booked on them and went to Colorado, and guess what? He lost his first fight with the people in Colorado. So that was a bit interesting, to say the least. Sort of payback for T.J. Dillashaw, because everybody thought since he was sleeping on Uriah Faber's couch at a point in time, and, you know, I mean, it was all about Faber reaching out to T.J. Dillashaw and helping to build him as a fighter and a person. And, of course, that Team Alpha Male system up there, man, they've got it all. They got striking coaches, wrestling coaches, jiu-jitsu coaches. I mean, you name it. They're well-versed. They're a good team. And, of course, one of the best teams in the world of mixed martial arts. But T.J. Dillashaw and Uriah Faber, had they fought in Sacramento, they could have put this in an outdoor stadium maybe and probably got to 25,000 to 30,000 people to show up live. I kid you not. It would have been the Battle of Sacramento. What happened? T.J. Dillashaw lost. Speaking of Uriah Faber, what division will he continue at? Of course, a former champion of the world extreme cage fighting at 145 pounds. He's fought as high as 155, I think, on occasion, and he's fought as low as 135. And I take that back. He was a WEC 135-pound champion, and he's fought as high as 145 and 155, 145 being featherweight, 155 being lightweight. Okay, speaking of lightweight, Rafael Dos Anjos still looking to do his thing at 155. But guess what? Conor McGregor's not around no more. No, no, no. Conor is going to be fighting Nate Diaz again. They're going to do this rematch. Of course, Nate Diaz lit him up like the White House Christmas. He just dissected him, beat him up, took him apart. That's just the way it was. I mean, you can't knock Nate Diaz at all. He came in, he took a licking in the first round. He took probably some punches from a pretty good striker, if not the best striker in MMA, and Conor McGregor, as far as that left hand is concerned. I mean, ask Jose Aldo. He lasted like 13 seconds. That's how hard this guy punches. And it was a face-first knockout of Aldo. So he rocked Diaz in the first round. Diaz looked like he took in a lot of punishment in that first round, but he came back in the second round, and he choked Conor McGregor out. He made him tap. He made him submit. He made him give it up. The biggest mouth in MMA, the mouth that roared, another one of Dana White's stars, Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, she got beat. John Jones is out of the ring. I mean, Cain Velasquez got beat. The heavyweight division's name sort of lost in limbo right now with Fabrice Verdum. He's going to defend his title against Steel Miocic down in Brazil in the coming months, but outside of that, the heavyweight division is sort of stagnant. I mean, Cain Velasquez sort of threw a wrench in that kind of stuff. You know, him consistently getting hurt. And when I say consistently, I do mean that. I mean, he's been off way more than he's been on. And you've been off more than you've been on. You've got to look at your training methods a little bit and say, you know what, maybe I'm training just a little bit too hard. Maybe those guys down there American Kickboxing Academy down there in Milpitas or wherever they are in Cupertino, but maybe they're doing things a little too hard, too extreme. Because, you know, Cain Velasquez keeps getting hurt time and time again. Knees, feet, shoulders, hands. I mean, I go down the list. I mean, he's been hurt a dozen times for a dozen different things. And, of course, that just sort of put a big blockade in his ascent to the heavyweight throne. I mean, he was heavyweight champion, but he wasn't fighting often. And then he fights for Fabrice Verdum, and what happens? He gets pounded on like a bongo drum. He's Mexican. He gets pounded on like a bongo drum for several rounds, and of course he ends up having to give it up. You had to give it up, man. You couldn't take the much punishment from that guy. Fabrice Verdum is the real deal. And of course, the date on Verdum and Miocic is UFC 198 live on pay-per-view from Brazil. That's May the 14th. Some of the other cards on the UFC schedule, May the 8th, will be Alistair Overeem versus Andre Arlovski, former heavyweight title holders, one I think in Strikeforce and the other in the UFC. That's going to go down in Netherlands, so I guess Dana White and those guys are going to get some good hash, bring some good hash back on their private jet May the 8th from the Netherlands. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming back, we'll close things up with the upcoming WBO title fights, the World Boxing Organization title fights. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We combine both boxing and MMA right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. 7 days a week, you can go to Sports Byline, pick up this broadcast, go to iHeartRadio.com, go to Ring Talk. The broadcasts are there from the past, the broadcasts are live there. We've got it all going on, iHeart and SportsByline.com. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide. But hey, you knew that.